morning about something that really I think is very important to preach upon this time of year. It's sunshiny outside. We just had spring break, which really means that we have entered into a time of year that I sometimes call bear season. B-A-R-E. A time when people tend to go bare. People start removing their clothes. And to be honest with you, that's one of the things I don't like about winter ending, is because I've had such peace during the winter time because everybody's wrapped up pretty good. But then springtime comes and there's a lot of distraction that we have in our world when it comes to modesty. I've done several sermons on this subject through the years, and I have to admit to you that it's one subject that I really tire of. I get very tired of preaching on it, and sometimes I wish that I didn't have to preach on it, but the Bible teaches that the lust of the flesh will always be in the world. And since the lust of the flesh will always be in the world, then we're always going to have to deal with things that lead to the lust of the flesh. It's one of Satan's devices. And so I want to talk to you this morning about modesty begins in the heart. The first thing that I want to stress is that this is often a very frustrating thing, especially for our sisters in Christ. And I want our sisters in Christ this morning to understand that I really feel what you go through, because it's pretty obvious that fashion designers are exploiting the female body more than they are the male body. It's pretty obvious that when they make clothes for women, they are wanting to exploit the body of the woman. And so what that means is that when you go shopping, it makes it very hard for you in your shopping, and it's very frustrating. But while they may exploit the female body, don't think for a moment that this is just something that men have a problem with as they look at women. For example, several years ago, there was a Coke commercial, and I never will forget it. There was a high-rise building, and there was a bunch of women working in this building, and they all of a sudden began to say, "Coke break, Coke break, Coke break." And the impression that I got was all of these women are about to go get a Coke and take a Coke break. But instead of each of them going to get a Coke, what they did is they went to a window and they looked down outside the window to the construction workers down below. And there was a construction worker down below that was all buff and muscular, and he had his shirt off and he was sweating and sweat was running down his body. But he was taking a Coke break. And basically what they were saying was, it's time for us to go look at this guy. It's time for us to go look at this man. I think most of us realize that women can lust too. In fact, Joseph dealt with that. Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes upon Joseph. It wasn't Joseph who had the lust problem in the book of Genesis. It was Potiphar's wife that had the lust problem. But the fact of the matter is, it is just easier for men to find modest clothing. Most of the time, it's not hard for us to go shopping at all and find something that's modest in regard to us. Another reason this is frustrating for women is because there is a desire to be stylish and to not be out of step with friends. And I understand that. You want to be stylish. You don't want to be out of step with other people if you can keep from it. You want to wear, to some degree, what the world says is stylish. I realize that people can think along those lines. But what we're going to see this morning is there are going to be times when we just can't go with the world. We just can't go with what is stylish in the world because we have a fashion designer. God is our fashion designer, and He wants us to follow His design as we make our way out and about. It seems to me that sometimes what happens, though, is we ask the wrong question when it comes to modesty. The question we sometimes ask ourselves is this clothing modest? I want to suggest to you that that's not really the question to ask. The better question to ask is, am I modest? The point I'm trying to get across more than anything else in this lesson this morning is that if I am modest, then that's going to be reflected in what I wear. If you are modest, it's going to be reflected in what you wear. Because all of what we do comes out of the heart, right? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Turn there, please. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. The Bible says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." So the Bible says that we've always got to look at our heart. We've always got to guard our heart because everything comes out of it. Modesty is a quality that you are first going to possess in your heart. Somebody has made the point that modesty, the clothing is modest when it fits the attitude that is already in the heart. And so that's where we have to begin. Now, it's not very surprising. The New Testament deals with the heart on this. The New Testament bends over backwards, dealing with the heart on this subject. Do you realize that the New Testament doesn't spend much time dealing with the descriptions of modest clothing? The New Testament doesn't spend much time with that at all. It's because God assumes that the modest person already knows. The modest person already knows what is modest and what is not, and what is not modest. It's common sense in so many ways. And furthermore, God has groomed us as we start in the beginning of the Bible and make our way through the Bible. He's giving us information all along that lets us know what's modest and what's not modest. He's grooming us that by the time we get to the Old Testament, we have the sense to know what is modest and what is not. So what God does in the New Testament is He focuses on a modest person, because He knows that's where the issue is going to be settled. Remember Barney Fife? He used to say, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. And what he meant was, you've got to get down to the heart of the matter. So what God is saying is that if we will get our hearts right, and if we'll truly have a modest heart, then it's going to reflect itself in the things that we will wear, or the things that we decide that we will not wear. I want to deal with some principles. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. And there's three things here that God is teaching that a woman is to put on. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but the Bible talks a lot about qualities that we are to put on. And if we will put on these certain qualities, then what it's going to do is it's going to affect the decisions that we make. So basically what we're saying is that if you'll put the things on that I'm about to talk about, if you'll put these traits on, it will affect what you put on. Does that make sense to you? If you'll put these traits on, it will affect what you put on. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Paul says, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but that which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Here's some principles that we have from 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. And I plead with you to understand that this is so important. God is saying, I want you to put these traits on. The first thing, and especially if you're reading from the King James Version, it will talk about that she is to adorn herself with shamefacedness. Shamefacedness. And what that means is modesty which is fast or rooted in character, bound by a sense of shame. You ever heard of somebody who's bedfast? Somebody who's bedfast is bound to the bed. A person who is shamefast is bound by their sense of shame. In other words, there's certain things they just can't do. I can't do that, because that's not right. That's shameful. That causes shame. I can't do that. I'm bound by my shame. I am shamefast. And so can you see that if we are people who develop shame in the proper areas, that is going to affect decisions that we make? Furthermore, it says that she is to be a person who has this inner quality of sobriety. That word means that you have an inner self-government, soundness of mind, and good judgment. In other words, you have the ability yourself to govern yourself and to say, I'm not going to wear that. I'm not going to do this. I have a soundness of mind. I can exercise good judgment. And so again, if you get it right at the heart, it will affect the decisions that you make. And then it said that she is to be one who adorns herself as one who professes godliness. Basically, what that means is the clothing will match her profession. Nurses wear nurse uniforms. Doctors wear doctor uniforms. Policemen wear police uniforms. They wear that because that's what they are. A nurse dresses like this because she's a nurse. A doctor dresses like this because he's a doctor. A policeman dresses like this because he's a policeman. What do you do if you're a Christian? If you profess to be a Christian, then what will you wear? You will wear what speaks to what you are. Alice in Wonderland, somebody said in that, be what you would seem to be. Be what you are. And if we're a Christian, then we're going to be wearing that which professes godliness. It says to other people that I am a godly person. So here's what we have learned from all of this. A woman's clothes are going to flow naturally out of a greater choice that she has already made. She has already made the choice that she is going to dress her heart in modesty. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is as good a verse as any that shows that these are things God wants us to put on. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair or of wearing gold or putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So there's ornaments that we can put on that you don't buy at the jewelry store. Shamefacedness, sobriety, godliness, all of these are jewels that we wear, and they affect what we wear when we get it right at the heart. An excellent quote from Gary Henry. Most of you know Gary. He says this, we may agonize at length over whether certain clothes look modest, but at last the real question is whether we are modest. An immodest woman is not made modest by wearing modest clothes. On the other hand, the truly modest woman will know what looks appropriate on her. Mothers, do not teach your daughter to only stand before the mirror and ask, do I look modest enough? Teach them to ask, am I modest enough? One of the things I like about this is he says that an immodest woman is not made modest by wearing clothes. I think most of us that would agree that Britney Spears and Madonna at times have been about as immodest as anybody could ever be, just outright lewd. But there have been times when I have seen both of those girls with perfect clothes on. They were dressed perfectly as far as modesty goes, but did that make them modest people? No, they weren't modest people. They just happened on that occasion to put on something that was modest. But what we are saying here is that when you are a modest person, it is always going to reflect itself by what we put on. Let's talk about some other things that will help us in our decisions. I want to talk about some things that God wants us to know. Wouldn't it make sense that if you really want to know how you should do with this, the person to ask is not me. The person to ask is not your girlfriend. The person to ask is God. Because he's the one that made us, and he's the one who knows what he wants. And so wouldn't it make sense just to simply ask God? Now here's one of the things that God wants us to know. Is this a new revelation to any of you? That men are highly visual? And God is trying to say that to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, where Jesus said, I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, we've already seen that women can lust, but Jesus keyed in on the man. Whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. And so what Jesus is trying to help us to understand here is that men are highly visual. And I believe that women get that to some degree. They know there is an allurement. I remember one girl specifically saying, she said, when I wear this, I just feel a power. I can feel them looking at me. As I walk by, I can feel them staring at me. And it feels good. It feels good. One Christian lady I talked to a while back at the supper table was talking about this. And she said, I think one of the reasons that sometimes Christian women dress immodestly is because they want to be pretty. And they think that if somebody looks at me, that means I'm pretty. So what I need to do is I need to do whatever it takes to get somebody to look at me. And if they look at me, I'm pretty, regardless of what you have to do to get the look. So I think we're seeing there that both men and women understand that men are highly visual. But yet at the same time, sometimes I feel that And I'm saying this in a kind way. Sometimes I think that maybe women don't get it to the degree that you should because you're not a man. And it's kind of, you know, how do I truly understand how a man thinks when I'm not one? And so I can see the frustration in that. But what God is trying to say is that men are highly visual. One lady said to me once, she said, "When I was younger, I wore things that I really shouldn't have worn. I just didn't understand. But when I got married, I understood." She said, "When I got married, I realized how visual a man really is." It's right here that a lot of women will say, "Well, that's not my problem. He ought to watch his mind. It's not my problem. He ought to watch his mind." Well, yes, he ought to watch his mind. I don't know of anybody who would think that he shouldn't do that. Yes, he ought to watch his mind. And I want to tell you something, because he's going to answer to God for whether he took enough action to prevent lusting. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. So if a man lusts, he's going to have to answer to God for it. But did you know the Bible also says that the person who causes him to lust is going to have to answer for it too? In Matthew the 18th chapter and verse 7, turn there. Matthew 18 and verse 7. Matthew 18 and verse 7, it says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes." What God is saying here is that the person who causes somebody else to sin, that's the meaning of the word offend, whoever causes someone else to sin, he says, woe to that man. So yes, us men, we need to watch our minds. But ladies, what we are pleading with you to do is help us, love us enough to help us to watch our minds. Because it's a whole lot easier to watch your mind when it's just not right there in your face. Men are highly visual. God says there's two areas that give men problems. And I want you to know that I'm going to strive right here to be just as modest as God is. I'm going to read the verses, and so if I read the verses, I guess I'd be being as modest as he is. But there's two things that give men problem. There's two areas that affect him. One of them is thighs. In Isaiah 47, beginning in verse 1. Isaiah 47, beginning in verse 1. God is talking here about how he's going to destroy Babylon. He's going to humiliate Babylon. But look at what he says. Please, please, please make sure that you understand that this is the voice of God that's talking. This is our fashion designer. He says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. Take off the skirt. Uncover the thigh. Pass through the rivers. Your nakedness will be uncovered, and your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man." What he's saying is that when the Babylonians were taken into captivity, their skirts would be removed, their shame would be revealed. But did you notice what's connected to their shame? He says, uncover the thigh. But then notice in verse 3, your nakedness will be uncovered. You put that together, and that says that when your thigh is uncovered, your nakedness is uncovered. That's what God said. When the thigh is uncovered, your nakedness is uncovered. See that, good people? Turn to Exodus 28. In Exodus 28, in the priesthood, God was the one who made the clothes that the priests were to wear. They wore robes. But in Exodus 28, beginning in verse 41, Exodus 28 and verse 41, it says, "So you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests." Now listen to verse 42. Now folks, this book is from God, and listen to what God says. God says, "You shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness." So God says, I want you to make them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. The priest would have to work at an altar. He sometimes walked up steps. And to prevent him from being exposed, God put an undergarment that said that I want it to reach from the waist to the thighs. That's two verses, people. I'm not drawing this out of a hat. I'm not trying to take a stand where God has not taken a stand. I'm reading from the book. And in two passages, God has associated the thigh with nakedness and shame in both of those passages. I looked up in a dictionary what the thigh is, just to see if I had it right. You look up in a dictionary to see what the thigh is, and it says it is that part of the body between the waist and the knee. That means that from here to here is the thigh. The part of the body between the waist and the knee. And it's interesting that that is what God, all throughout Scripture, says, I want you to cover. Let me ask you a question. What would that say about a bathing suit? What would that say about a bathing suit, whether a one-piece or a two-piece? Is that modest? Would that be modest? What would that say about the typical cheerleading attire when they bound up in the air and everything is exposed? What would that say about a typical majorette attire? Modest? Immodest? And here's a challenge question that I sometimes will offer. If a bathing suit is modest, what's immodest? If a bathing suit is modest, what's immodest? If you think about that question long and hard, I think we begin to clue in on the answers. So God says thighs, but he also said something else that really gives men trouble. And it's talked about in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Speaking to the married man, God says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? And so what we've seen here is there's two things that God shows that men are highly visual in regard to. And those two things I have just dealt with on the pages of Scripture. And this is what God has shown us. Another thing that I think is important to understand is that a person can have some clothes on and still be considered naked by God. Do you remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, you remember they ate of that fruit that they were not to eat of? And in verse 7 it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? And Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Now notice, he's already put fig leaves on the essentials, but yet he still calls himself naked. God says, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? The clothes that Adam and Eve made for themselves were not sufficient, and so the fashion designer came in and gave them what he thought they needed. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin, and he clothed them. I took the time to look up tunic. The vast majority of the definitions on a tunic is a garment that reaches from the shoulder to the knees. I'm not surprised. That is consistent with the God of heaven. God says don't come too low. God says don't come too high. Can we see that? I believe if we want to see that we can see that. Don't come too low. Don't come too high. It gives men trouble. It's immodest. But let me say something else. Not only would it be sensible to talk to God about it, you know, I think it may help to ask men about it, to ask a typical man what he would have to say about it. Now, I will say there are some guys out there who will say, well, that just don't bother me. That just doesn't bother me. I'm not sure that says something good about you. Do you realize in the book of Jeremiah, God said that his people had gotten to the point where they couldn't blush? So we can get to the point where we can say, well, that just doesn't bother me. And God would say, it should. You have looked at it so long. You have soaked in it so long. You've gotten desensitized to it. And so just because you may find somebody out there who says, well, that's just not a problem for me, doesn't mean that it's not for the vast majority of people. And I question even that guy's sincerity. But maybe he's speaking truthfully as he's been desensitized. And let me say this. You can teach yourself shame. When I was in high school, when they would choose people to play the basketball games, you know, they had shirts and skins, I would always claw to be on the shirts team because I wasn't going to skin. But, you know, the longer I was around it, I finally gave in and I started going without my shirt on. I'm ashamed of that now. You could not pay me enough money to take off my shirt and cut grass in my front yard. I would be so ashamed. You know why? Because I got it back. I got it back. I educated myself again. I thought about what God wanted. I started making my practice fit with what I read in Scripture. And I got it back. So you can teach yourself shame. Would it surprise you to know that what men say fits what God has already said? As I talk to men, it fits exactly what God has already said. Guys will tell you there's two things that give them problems, the thighs and the chest. They'll tell you that every time. And that's why, again, God is saying, not too low, not too high. And do you understand that it only takes a little bit? That's why lingerie sells. Why would lingerie sell? Because men love looking at something that's partially clothed. Because it makes their mind run wild. It does things to their brain. And it makes them want to finish the picture. You're showing me this much, I'm going to complete the picture. That stuff sells for a reason. So don't let the neckline scoop down to even reveal a little. Watch the length of the shirts, the shorts and the skirts. Somebody once said, the world went down as far as you can go. And then the world came up as high as you can go. And then lo and behold, they cut out the middle. Somebody else must have seen this. I had seen this years ago and it just happened to be back in the resource room. I've always thought this said the point. Now here's a person who's wearing a slip. Here's somebody who's wearing, I'm not up on it, whatever you call this. But look at what it says. Oh dear, that's the doorbell. And here I am in my underclothes. And this person said, I'm dressed. I'll get it. Who has more clothes on? Who has more clothes on? Again, it's just kind of a common sense kind of thing. Be a secret keeper. There's some things about you that you should not share to the world. There's some things about you that God meant for only your husband to see. There's some things about you that God meant for only your wife to see. Don't be showing it to the world. God wants us to be modest. And then shouldn't we consider the advice of godly counselors? In Proverbs 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Sometimes I have to get counsel so I can make the right decision. In the multitude of counselors there's safety. And I'll just tell you this. I think I know good preaching when I hear it. I've been listening to a lot of gospel preaching through the years. And the gospel preachers that I respect, that I believe are holding true to the whole Word of God, every single one of them have said the same thing. Don't come too low. Don't go too high. They deal with these two areas just like God deals with them. And in that, there's great safety. They warned about uncovering the thigh. I remember preachers saying, to the knee, to the knee, to the knee. You know, somebody may say to me, well, Jeff, what do you wear to the beach? I wear a shirt and shorts that reach to the knee. That's what I wear. Does that fit in with what everybody else is doing? No. Did I always do that? No. But what we've got to do is we've got to adapt ourselves to the Word of God. I want you to listen to this. You know, Jesus one time said that the children of this world are wiser than us. In other words, sometimes the world gets it and we don't. Or maybe the world gets it and we just refuse to get it. This comes from the Autauga County school system. Now, I have no idea what Clements does. I haven't read the handbook in a long time. I don't know what it says. But this is Autauga County schools. Listen. They have some prohibited items in their dress code. Strapless dresses, T-tops, muscle shirts, shorts with wide legs. Now see, what that means is you may have something down to the knee, but that leg is so wide when you sit down. Shorts with wide legs, short tops and low waist pants that expose the midriff. So he's saying, don't wear a shirt that stops right here and boys can see your belly button. And don't wear pants that scoop so low that the middle is exposed. Clothing that is made of sheer fabric or spandex. What they're saying there is it may cover, but it's so tight that every curve of the body can be seen. It says clothing that is too short, too tight, or too revealing. Now listen to this. Here's why they say to do that. The reason they say you cannot wear these things to school is because it causes a distraction of others. I wonder what the distraction is. Come on, folks. What do you think the distraction is? Oh, no. Do we not? The world understands it. They might not always follow it, but the world understands it. And that's what the Bible is trying to teach us. As we finish the lesson this morning, let me just simply point out that we're really right back to where we started. Modesty begins in the heart. If you're modest in your heart, then you're going to be modest in every other way. From Biblical Insights, somebody wrote, this is Denise Bowman. Is this Dee's wife? I don't know. Maybe it's somebody related to Russ and Dee. But anyway, Denise Bowman says, when we choose our clothing, we must remember that our responsibility is to glorify our Father. Take a good look in the mirror and ask, does this outfit reflect my love and my respect for God? Will what I wear help or hinder my effort to be a light to those around me? Is it wise? If we have the right attitude and truly believe in our purpose, then the questions of too tight, too short, or too revealing will take care of themselves. What is she saying? She's saying modesty begins in the heart. I hesitate to use this next point because I don't want you to take it and run with it. But I think there is a point in it that needs to be heard. There was a lady one time who approached a preacher friend of mine, and she was wearing things that gave people problems. And she finally said to the preacher, she said, I am sick and tired of people telling me what I can and can't wear. Well, he knew what she wore, and he said this. He said, you are going to stand before God and you are going to give an answer to God for how you have dressed and whether you have respected his guidelines on this. He said, if you believe that God wants you to wear that, wear it. You say, whoo, preacher! If you believe God wants you to wear it, wear it. You know what she did? She quit wearing it because she finally quit thinking about what others thought and she started focusing on what God thinks and she made the change. I hope that you've listened good this morning. I don't ride it as a hobby, but I will tell you there's two or three things that I believe the Lord's church needs to do a whole lot better in, and this is one of them. And so for that reason, I just keep on. And I just keep on. Because I love the Lord and I want to do what's right. I haven't always done what's right, but I want to do what's right. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian and you want to be a part of this wonderful thing that we've talked about this morning, we're going to sing a song now to encourage you. Would you come while we stand and as we sing?